My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock. He represents the Golden State's 4th Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Budget Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of things. First of all, an act he introduced a number of months ago called the Full Faith and Credit Act, making sure that the proper priorities would be made in terms of spending what resources the government does have if, in fact, we exceed the nation's debt limit. We also want to talk about a new proposal he has to trim government spending, particularly in the area of energy subsidies. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first of all about the Full Faith and Credit Act. We've heard a lot of talk just in recent days about what may or may not be able to happen if, in fact, we exceed the debt ceiling. The president telling CBS News that he can't guarantee that checks to Social Security recipients, disabled veterans, and so forth would actually be able to be made as soon as August 3rd. Tell our listeners a little bit about your act and what it would mean in terms of which priorities would be honored first.
Well, the act, which mirrors that introduced by Senator Pat Toomey in the Senate, simply codifies a responsibility that the president already has and that he's alluded to himself, and that is to prioritize debt to protect the public credit. We take in about $2.2 trillion of revenue every year. The problem is we're spending $3.7 trillion. Our actual debt service costs are a fraction of the revenues we bring in. So the revenues, if properly prioritized, will protect the nation's full faith and credit. The president, through the act that created the Department of the Treasury, not only has the authority to do so, he has an affirmative responsibility under the 14th Amendment to do so. As I said, he's alluded to that authority in making the announcement that Social Security recipients would not be paid. What he's saying is that he's placing Social Security recipients at the very bottom of his priority list. That's something he's going to have to answer the American people. As I said, the Full Faith and Credit Act simply assures that first call goes to protecting the public's credit as required in the 14th Amendment.
We just saw the story on Wednesday that Moody's is reevaluating America's debt, and that could potentially result in a lowering of the AAA credit rating. So long as the debt interest is honored and paid, do you sense that that is threatened, as most have suggested would happen on August 2nd, or is that misreading the situation?
Well, what it means is the full faith and credit should be preserved. The problem is we'll still be subject to a downgrade simply because we can no longer meet our day-to-day bills. And I don't mean to understate the damage that would be done. If that happens and we see a downgrade in the nation's credit, that's going to mean an immediate increase in interest payments that will be required. It means wiping out any savings that they're currently talking about in future years because of those higher debt costs. So it's essentially the second worst thing that could happen to our country's finances. The worst thing that could happen is if we continue down the road we're currently on, and end up with a sovereign debt crisis just a few years down the road, as Greece is now going through, because that would mean the financial collapse of the United States government.
What has the Speaker Majority Leader had to say about bringing your Full Faith and Credit Act to the floor? Obviously getting pretty close to August 2nd here.
Well, I think they're viewing it as a tool in their toolbox. But again, frankly, the president already has that authority. That is very clear. The question is whether he will use that authority as he's required to do to protect the nation's full faith and credit. He's been implying he won't, and that's what's so bothersome.
Congressman, one final question on this before we head to your amendment to a resolution on energy subsidies, and that, again, deals with Social Security. A lot of folks may be thinking about this and thinking, well, obviously, if we get past the debt ceiling, we'd have some serious spending cuts to make, but we supposedly have this Social Security Trust Fund, which would be able to last for quite a while, according to what we hear from many political figures. What does the president's comments tell us about what is and is not true about the trust fund?
Unfortunately, the Social Security Trust Fund consists entirely of IOUs written by a government that's on the verge of bankruptcy. Now, to give you the full picture of the magnitude of the problem, it's this. If we shut down the entire federal government right now, that means fire every single bureaucrat, close down every single agency, disband the military, shutter the White House, so long and thanks for all the fish, we still would not have balanced the budget because entitlement spending, that's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, other welfare programs, and interest on the debt is consuming more than the entire United States government is taking in revenues. It is that bad.
One of the reasons that, of course, many believe that we're in this situation is because a lot of money keeps getting spent on bad ideas, and that's one of the reasons you've added an amendment to an upcoming House resolution dealing with energy subsidies. Here's, for the sake of our listeners, how you introduced this amendment on the House floor just a couple of days ago.
We're now running a deficit that threatens to bankrupt our country, and this requires us to cast a critical eye on every expenditure that's failed to meet its objectives. And none has failed so spectacularly as the Department of Energy's subsidy of energy research, which has left us billions of dollars poorer and left us stuck with mediocre technologies that only survive on a lifeline of public subsidies.
Get a little more specific if you can, Congressman. What different subsidies have we been funding over the years? What projects have we been funding that have turned out virtually nothing for us?
Well, let's take as just one of many examples, solar energy. There's nothing new in that technology. It was introduced 170 years ago by a French physicist by the name of Edmond Becquerel. And in 170 years of technological advancement and research and development and God knows how many billions of dollars of federal subsidies, we have not yet come up with a more expensive way of generating electricity. The only reason it's even being discussed is because we hide the true cost of this source of electricity through massive public subsidies that are now helping to bankrupt our country. So what I proposed unsuccessfully on the House floor this week was to amend the next year's energy appropriations bill to remove $3.5 billion of subsidies to solar, wind, fossil fuels, natural gas, of nuclear power, the entire every sector of the of energy production, and simply ask them to stand on their own merit rather than get propped up with subsidies. That way, investment capital can again flow naturally to those sources of energy that are the most technologically viable and economically viable.
You mentioned, Congressman, that it failed. Was this under normal rules? Does that suggest a Republican majority did not agree with this?
A Republican majority, I'm sorry to say, did not agree with it. So we're going to continue to pick winners and losers in the energy market. We're going to continue to spend billions of dollars doing so. We're going to continue to put that money into the most dubious of ventures that no private capital would get anywhere close to with their own money, but we're perfectly content to risk the taxpayers' money instead. We have been promised now for 30 years of such subsidies that this is going to reduce our reliance on foreign oil, and in 30 years and countless billions of dollars of such subsidies, we're more dependent on foreign oil than ever before. The one area where we withdrew those subsidies was shale oil and shale gas technology, and just a few years after we did that, because they were relieved of all of the distortions and government meddling that comes with these subsidies, that's when we saw the breakthroughs in shale oil and shale gas production.
Very interesting, and you can read more about it on the Congressman's website at mcclintock.house.gov. And sir, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.